Shri Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya Naram chaiva narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayo Mudirayet Nashta Prayeshva Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Yuttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. So we're continuing our study of the 11th canto, chapter 28, and this is text number 19. Yatha hiranyam svakritam purastat Paschatcha sarvasya hiranmayasya Tadeva madye vyavaharamanam Nanapate shairaham asya tadvat Yatha just as Hiranyam gold Suakritam unmanifest as manufactured products. Purastat previously. Paschat subsequent. Cha and Sarvasya of everything. Hiranmayasya, that is made of gold. Tat, that gold. Eva, alone. Madhye, in the middle. Vyavaharyamanam, being utilized. Nana, various. Upadeshai, in terms of designations. Aham, I. Asya, of this created universe. Tadvat, in the same way. Translation by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Gold alone is present before its manufacture into gold products. The gold alone remains after the product's destruction, and the gold alone is the essential reality while it is being utilized under various designations. Similarly, I alone exist before the creation of this universe, after its destruction, and during its maintenance. Who's speaking? Sri Krishna. Who's he speaking to? Uddhava. Good, just want to make sure that we're focused. Purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Gold is manufactured into many types of jewelry as well as into coins and other luxurious products. But at each stage, before manufacture, during manufacture, during utilization, and afterward, the essential reality is gold. In the same way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the essential reality, both the dynamic and the ingredient cause of everything. All throughout the material creation, the Lord is simply setting into motion His own potency, which is not different from Him. Om Jnanti Brandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militan Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langaya Tegirim Yat Kripatamam Bande Sri Gurun Dinatarinam Panchakalpatrubhyascha Kripasindhu Vivacha Patitanang Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this verse is the same as yesterday's verse. But here, in this verse, Krishna is giving an example. In yesterday's verse, he said, I exist before the creation. I exist during the creation. When the creation is uncreated, unmanifest, I'm alone existing. And he gives the example in this verse of gold. Gold is in the mine. They take it out of the mine. And they shape it into many things, jewelry, different things. And in the end, when that jewelry is melted back down, the only thing that remains in the beginning, the middle, and the end is gold. The whole thing is gold. You may call it jewelry, you may call it a bangle, you may call it earrings, but it's gold. Similarly, Krishna's there before the creation, he's there during the creation, he's there after the creation. In fact, what he says in the last verse, the absolute truth which alone was present before the creation of the universe and which alone will remain after its destruction is also the time factor and the ultimate cause. Even in the middle stage of this creation's existence, the absolute truth alone is the actual reality. And then he gives the example that gold is the actual reality in terms of all jewelry and all things that are made of gold. So everything in this universe comes into being at a certain time, and at a certain time it is destroyed. What's the word Krishna uses? Destruction. Destroyed. And the only thing that's left, Krishna says, the absolute truth which alone was present before the creation of the universe and which alone will remain after its destruction. Who is the absolute truth? Sri Krishna. Nothing else will exist. Everything will cease to be, but Sri Krishna will still be there. Sri Krishna is eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. Everything else comes and goes. And that's the situation, that's the macroscopic view, and in the microscopic view, that's also a fact. We come into being, we live for some time, and then we die, but Krishna is always there. And the whole process of bhakti yoga is to connect with that Krishna, to have a relationship with Krishna, and enter into the same atmosphere or the same nature, the same spiritual reality as Krishna. Because, although it's not stated here, we should understand that Radha was there before the creation, Radha's there during the creation, and Radha's there after the creation is annihilated. Sri Radha Ki Jai. So we want to also become part of Radha's reality. And in order to accomplish this, Prabhupada has come to us. One may ask, what was it that we did, or what was our qualification that allowed us to come to this position right here, right now, that we are on the royal road back to home, back to Godhead? what was our qualification? Srila Prabhupada was our qualification. Is that what you're saying? But I'm saying, what was our qualification that Prabhupada came to us? So I'm saying before Prabhupada.
Probably being the most fallen.
Being the most fallen. Well, it does say in Shastra that the Lord picks up the most fallen. What's your answer?
Because we're Sri Krishna's devotees and we forgotten that, and so sort of a lot of time goes and we have to come back to him because Krishna wants us to come back.
Well, everybody is Sri Krishna's devotees. Every jiva is Nitya Krishna Das, but there's billions of jivas in the planet, but there's only a handful of people in this room.
At this point in time, if they all come back eventually, whether it's this time or next time or whenever.
That's the positive outlook. Well, the answer to this specific question is, it's causeless mercy. There's nothing that we did to cause it. It's causeless mercy. We have difficulty understanding this because we're so conditioned to think in terms of karmakanda. Like, I usually ask people, you know the story of the sons of Kuvera, Manigriva Nala Kuvera? Yes? They were cursed by Narada Muni to become trees. Why? Well, not so much that. They were doing that. They were intoxicated. But the ladies were also naked. They were also enjoying in the same way, and they weren't cursed. Why was it that those two were cursed? Because the ladies, when they saw Narada Muni, they came to their senses and realized, oh my God, this is really Maya. And they covered themselves and they were ashamed. But Manigriva Nalakuvara, they were upset. Oh God, here's this Rishi, now he spoiled all our fun. So they had an offensive mentality. See? They didn't feel guilty. They didn't feel remorseful. They didn't come to their senses. They got even more into Maya. Oh God, now this is Rishi. Yeah, God. Spoil it for us. Now all the women are embarrassed and they're, oh God. You understand the situation? So then Narada Muni, these boys really need a lesson. They are in deep Maya. Okay, you guys want to stand naked? I'll give you a benediction. Oh yeah? Benediction? Yeah, benediction. You can stand as trees. They were shocked. That's when they came to their senses because they realized this Rishi has Shakti. He's just cursed us to stand as trees and oh my God, it's going to come true. They knew that. So they were shocked. Now Narada Muni, he's a Vaishnava. He's a devotee. He's soft-hearted. So when he saw that they were like in shock, oh my God, then his heart kind of melted. But once it's said, it's said. It's done. So he said, then he said, okay. And maybe that was a little harsh. So he added a benediction. Okay, you have to become trees. But I give you the benediction that you become trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj when Sri Krishna performs his pastimes on planet Earth. And so it was. And he said, not only that when Sri Krishna performs his pastimes on planet Earth, but you'll get his darshan. You'll be the trees, you'll be able to see everything. You'll get his darshan, see his pastimes. And so they became trees. Then we all know the pastime of Damodar Leela, Mother Yashoda binds Krishna. Of course, he sets up the whole thing. You know, in the beginning, Mother Yashoda and Krishna have this loving exchange. He's taking her milk, she's holding him in their arms, and it's so sweet and loving. She's in ecstasy, Krishna's in ecstasy. But then in the kitchen, the milk starts to boil, and she's thinking, oh, I've got to go and finish cooking for Krishna. So she puts him down. And I'll be back in a minute, I just got to take care of the milk. But Krishna seems that he's impatient. He doesn't like it. He's angry. But actually, he's just setting into motion his leela. Because he doesn't have to be upset. He can wait 1 minute. What is 1 minute for Krishna? But he wants to set up a whole thing to exhibit certain things. So what he does is he pretends that he's angry. It's like an actor on the stage. You come on and you're angry. Maybe you're playing Hiranyakashipu, but you're not really Hiranyakashipu. Come off the stage, you're just a devotee. So he pretends to be angry. Ah, I don't like this. So Mother Yashoda is in the kitchen. She's taking the milk off the stove. And all of a sudden she hears splash. Uh-oh. Krishna's up to something now. She comes back into the room. The room is probably like this, beautiful marble floor. But no Krishna. Instead, in the middle of the floor is a broken pot of yogurt, and there's clay pot and yogurt all over the floor. Oh, she's fried. Fried to the max. Because to get that yogurt, she has to milk the cows. Then she has to take that milk, and she has to boil it, and then put a little yogurt culture in there, keep it at a certain temperature overnight, and it becomes yogurt. And now all that effort and energy is wasted, and no one's going to enjoy it. And no Krishna's there, but she sees yogurt footprints going out the door. Because Krishna walked in the yogurt, and now we see little yogurt footprints going out the door. So I gotta teach him a lesson. So she follows the footprints out the door, out to the courtyard, leading to the back storehouse. Oh, he's in the storehouse. That's where I keep all the other yogurt hanging from the rafters. Oh no! Boy, that Krishna, he's naughty! She sees a stick. She picks up that stick. She comes into the storeroom. She's waving the stick. She let him know, I'm angry. Krishna, he's on the mortar on the top with Balaram reaching up to grab that yogurt. And then Krishna sees Mother Yashoda and he realizes, oh, she's angry. How to subdue her anger? So he starts looking like this as if he's fearful, hoping that that will soften her heart because he's fearful. But no, she's waving. So then he goes like this, as if he's going to cry, hoping that that will work. That's known as the tear weapon. Softening the heart. All the kids know the tear weapon. There's a tantrum weapon. Different ways that children control the parents. That doesn't work either. Mother Yashoda, she knows all those tricks. Okay, Krishna, you're going to get it now. She goes to grab him. He jumps down from the mortar. And she goes to grab him. He goes around the mortar. She chases him. And he goes out the door and around the courtyard. And she's chasing him around the courtyard. Now, the other gopis that live in the area, they through their window, they see Mother Yashoda running around the house trying to capture Krishna. So they all come out to see the fun. And Mother Yashoda is trying to catch little Krishna, just a little baby, 3 years old. She can easily catch him if she wanted to. She's trying her best, but he's Krishna. Who can capture Krishna? So it's like the carrot and the stick. She just can't quite get him. And she's thinking, I've almost got him, but she's starting to get tired as she's running and running. And her breathing becomes heavy. You know, she has her hair tied up very beautifully with flowers. Anybody been to South India? You see how the ladies tie their hair? Yes or no? That's the Vedic way. You put your hair very nicely and you decorate it with beautiful flowers and jewelry. you know, Mother Yashoda is gorgeous. And she's getting really tired, and her hair is becoming loose, the flowers are falling down, trying to capture Krishna. Finally, Krishna sees she's trying so hard to capture me. So he agrees to be captured, because no one can capture Krishna unless he agrees to be captured. So she captures him. Ah, gotcha now. So she takes him by the hand, drags him back to the storehouse, and she's going to tie him up to that mortar to keep him out of mischief, because she wants to go back to the kitchen. That milk that she's been working with, she wants to make sandesh and milk sweets for Krishna. So she grabs some rope. This is the rope that she uses for tying the hind legs of the cow when she's milking the cows. There's 8 cows. I mean, Nanda Maharaj has hundreds of thousands of cows, but there's 8 cows that are the best of all those cows. And those 8 cows get the tenderest, most special grasses. And they give the best milk. That's why these cows, only the milk from these cows are used for Krishna. The milk for the other cows is for everybody else. But only the milk from these cows is for Krishna. So she takes one of the ropes, ties it to the mortar, puts it around Krishna's waist. Oops, 2 fingers short. No problem. Grabs another one, ties the 2 rope ends together. Now she's confident. Ties it around Krishna's waist. Still 2 fingers short. She can't tie them together. That's strange. Well, no problem. Grab another piece of rope, tie it together. Still 2 fingers short. Now she's really bewildered. So she slowly grabs another piece of rope, wondering what's going on, ties it together, and Krishna's thinking, she's trying so hard to bind me. Okay. I agreed to be bound. So this time, there's enough rope, and she ties it to the other end, ties it really tight. She says, okay, now Krishna, you stay here. I'm going to go make some milk sweets for you, and when I'm finished, you can have a nice treat. She loves Krishna so much. So the acharyas tell us that the 2 fingers are very significant, why the rope is always 2 fingers short. 1 finger stands for the endeavor by Mother Yashoda to bind Krishna, by her loving endeavor to capture Krishna. This is called chesta, or endeavor. And the other finger represents Krishna's mood of agreeing to take the subordinate position out of love for his devotee. He has so much love for devotees, and when the devotees have so much love for Krishna, Krishna enjoys taking the subordinate position. So he agrees to be bound up by the love of Mother Yashoda, although no one can bind him. Satyavrat Muni, in his Dhammadharashtakam, he compares that rope to the Brahmajyoti, because Krishna's belly is like the entire universe, and what surrounds the entire universe is the Brahmajyoti. So to that rope I offer my obeisances. That rope that bind his belly. So then she goes back. Now Krishna has set this all into motion for several reasons. And what? Well, the main reason is this. He wants to exhibit the quality of Bhaktivatsala, that he is so loving to his devotees, so affectionate to devotees, that he'll take a subordinate position and allow the devotee to take a superior position. So he does this with Mother Yashoda. Who else does he do this with? Arjuna. Exactly. He becomes the rickshawwala. For Arjuna, chariot driver in those days, and these days, rickshaw wala. Right? You get in the rickshaw, so you're like you're in a chariot. But Krishna takes a subordinate position out of love for his devotee, and he's happy to do that. So Krishna wants to exhibit this. Now he's going to exhibit this again. As Mother Yashoda goes into the kitchen, he, on his hands and knees, he's crawling out of the storeroom, pulling the mortar behind him towards the two trees. He's now going to pull down these two trees. And on his way towards the two trees, in the verse in the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, says, Krishna says, I know that these trees are the sons of Manigriva Nalakubra, who were cursed by Narada Muni. He knows that. Krishna knows everything. I'm now going to deliver them. But I have nothing to do with them. Krishna says, I have nothing to do with these two boys, but I'm going to deliver them. And when I read that, I started thinking, you know, Krishna says he has nothing to do with them. What does that mean? Does it, maybe he has nothing to do with me also. So what does he mean? Oh, you have an idea?
Oh, it means he's not committed to releasing them from the tree. He's going to just do that out of his own back, you know. Without any cause, he's just going to do that anyway, even though there's no cause for him to do it, because he's not connected to them in that sense yet.
Well, he's... Okay, you're just about there, but just to clarify it, he has nothing to do with them because they have nothing to do with him. Ye yatamam prapajyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. As you approach me, I reciprocate accordingly. So if you approach me zero, I reciprocate zero.
Well, they do have a relationship with him in a covered way before they are listening to his dharma, you're actually witnessing all this.
Well, that hasn't happened yet. Well, anyway, let's go by verse in the Bhagavatam. So in this verse, he says, I have nothing to do with them, because they have nothing to do with me. But, there's the word but, it's a little word with a huge meaning. But to honor the word of my pure devotee, Narada Muni, I'm now going to give them my darshan, liberate them. So, this is the causeless mercy. To honor the word of the pure devotee, he's going to deliver them. Nothing that they ever did. It's completely causeless. In fact, what they committed a great aparad. But to honor the word of his pure devotee. So Krishna becomes bound by the word of his pure devotee. He's bound by the rope of Mother Yashoda. He's bound by the word of Narada Muni. This is Bhaktivatsala, taking the subordinate position to his loving devotees. He takes a subordinate position to Arjuna. He's bound to drive that chariot in the midst of arrows and the whole war, you know, so that Arjuna can do his service. What service is that? Paritranaya sadhanam, to protect the innocent, the sadhus. Vinashaya cha duskriyam, to destroy the duskritam, the demoniac forces, and to establish dharma. So then he goes between the trees, the mortar gets stuck there, the trees come down, and the two sons of Kuvera, Manigriva, Nalakuvera come out, and as soon as they see Krishna, they're instantly purified. And they start offering prayers. And after the prayers, they return back to their own abode, completely changed persons. So this is another example of causeless mercy. He got their mercy, they got his mercy, because just to honor the word of his pure devotee, Narada Muni, who said that they would get the darshan of the Lord. Now the Lord has to give them his darshan. He's bound by the word of Narada Muni. You raised your hand?
Yeah. Just as Krishna set that up there, the example there with the milk and stuff, is it also that Narada Muni set that up also? You have that also?
Well, I don't know. I don't want to speculate. All I know is what Shastra says, and he was walking along came to that lake, and there they were. They were doing that. Whether that whole thing was set up, Krishna knows everything past, present, and future, so maybe from his point of view, he already knew it. I don't think anybody else did. It just happens, you know. So what we're getting at here is how Krishna becomes bound by the word of his pure devotee, how he takes a subservient position to the love of his devotee. And Prabhupada is teaching us all this. That if our love comes to that stage, Krishna will take the subordinate position to us also. So this verse that is saying that before the existence, during the existence, and after the existence, only Krishna is there. But that Krishna will take a subordinate position and elevate his devotees to a more exalted position based on love. The whole process of bhakti yoga is only about love, divine love. Divya gyan hriday prakashita, we're seeing every day. That divine love becomes manifest in my heart. Why? Because attachment to his lotus feet is the perfection that fulfills all desires. What does that mean? Attachment to the lotus feet of the pure devotee. What does that mean? I mean, you sing it every day. You better know what it means. Well, let someone else try. It means something, right? What does it mean? Anybody? Okay. It means following in the footsteps. Following in the footsteps, attachment to his lotus feet, following the path that he's chalked out for us. My only wish is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. From his lotus mouth comes the vani, the instructions, the teachings. And from his lotus feet comes the path, how you live these teachings. It's not that you're, let's chop off his feet and put him on the altar. So his lotus feet means his lotus footsteps. This we know from Shastra, that when Yudhisthira was asked what is Dharma, Mahajanayena Gatasa Panta, following in the footsteps of the pure devotees, that is Dharma. And Lord Chaitanya explained, because only the pure devotees, the Mahabhagavats, understand the Absolute Truth, because the Absolute Truth is within the core of their heart. So when you follow in his footsteps, follow the path that he's chalked out for us. That's the meaning of it. Worshipping his lotus feet. Okay? Is that clear? So, Prabhupada is giving us everything we need to come to the standard of love. And everyone in the spiritual world has this standard of love. And if you want to go to the spiritual world, you have to have that standard of love. You have to come up to that level of love. Because if you don't, you won't fit in. You're not going to fit in the spiritual world. I can give you a reverse example, a crude example, just to make it clear. Supposing you have a friend from uni, and you took your different paths, you became a devotee, and that person became, let's say, a corporate person. But now that person's getting married, and they write to you, please come to my wedding. So out of, you know, old time, old friendship, okay, I'll come. But as it turns out, they're all meat eaters, and at the reception, there's nothing but meat to eat. And the drinks, there's only alcoholic drinks. You don't fit in. You're a vegetarian, you're a devotee, you just don't fit in. There's nothing there that you can relate to. And yet the point, If we don't come to the level of the residents of Goloka Vrindavan, we're not going to fit in. It's not that you just go there and then whatever, you fit in automatically somehow or other. No. You have to be qualified. That's known as your adhikar. We have to have the adhikar. So we have to develop that love. And where do we develop that love? Here. In the material world. We take shelter of the teachings of the guru. We follow in his footsteps. He's our guide. He trains us up to come to that platform so we'll be eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. And if we don't come to that standard, if we still have material desires, in other words, if Krishna's not number one in our life, how can we go there if Krishna's not number one in our life? Ananyas chintayanta mam, I have no other thought except for Krishna. Sarva dharman paritya ja, mami kamshanam bhaja, I just surrender to Krishna, make him number one. If I don't have that mood, then how will I fit in? Because if such a person came there, everyone would look at him like, where are you at? No one would want your association. Think about it. You understand? So we have to come to that level of love, devotion, commitment, dedication to Krishna. And the way to do it is to follow the instructions of Prabhupada, and his most foremost instruction is Shravanam Kirtanam. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now how do I know whether or not Krishna is number one for me? How do I know? Someone may think, well, I joined the movement, I'm wearing tilak, I have a bead bag, I come to the programs, I only eat prasadam, Krishna's number one. But there's a test. And we do that test every day. You want to know who's number one? During the japa period, when you're chanting japa, you find out who's number one. Because wherever your mind goes during japa, that's who's number one. So if your mind goes to Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's number one. But if your mind goes to your own pastimes, things I did in the past, things I'm doing in the present, things I'd like to do in the future, if your mind goes there, then you're number one in your life. I'm still number one. But Krishna says, make me number one. Forget that you're number one. Throw that out. Parityaja. Give that up. And make me number one. During japa period, when you find out how successful you are at making Krishna number one. Because if you're fully absorbed and all you can think of is Krishna, then he's number one. And if you're only thinking of your own things in your life and this and that, then you're number one. Because you're chanting Krishna's names. What more proof do we need? I'm chanting Krishna's names and still my mind leaves that and goes to my pastimes. Then I'm really powerfully number one in my consciousness. You understand? So we got to change that. We got some work to do. We got some purification that needs to take place. And the means of purification, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, we're not doing it properly because we're allowing our mind to leave the focus of the holy name, which is the purifying agent. And we're going somewhere else. To my own pastimes, past or present, or even in the future. Yeah, in the future I'll get a place in Vrindavan, and I'll have a place in Gold Coast, and When the weather's great, I'll go to Vrindavan, and when it's too hot there, I'll come back to Australia. I'll have enough money to fly in first class. Or whatever, But we want to be thinking of Krishna. How I love Krishna, how I can serve Krishna. Now the residents of Vrindavan, they're always thinking like that. You see, residents of Vrindavan, the gopis that lived in the same village as Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai, they're always checking out what's going on at Yashoda's house. So they see her chasing Damodar and tying him up. And they hear Mother Yashoda churning the milk and singing songs. And they love to hear Mother Yashoda sing songs. Why? What songs does she sing? Well, you see, Mother Yashoda is a poet. And all of Krishna's pastimes, she writes down in beautiful poetry. She keeps a record. And she likes to take these beautiful poems and put them to music and then sing them. So while she's doing her daily chores or duties or whatever that you call the word, her daily duties, her daily service, she's singing these songs. And the gopis, when they hear her singing, they love to come and hear Mother Yashoda singing these songs because they also love to hear the pastimes of Krishna. Now Radharani especially loves to come and hear these. And what's her favorite song? Her favorite one is the Damodar Leela song, where Krishna agrees to be bound by Mother Yashoda's love. And she's thinking, oh, this is so wonderful. If only Krishna would agree to be bound by my love. That's her desire. Are we thinking like that? Should we be thinking like that? Wouldn't it be nice if we thought like that? I have so much love for Krishna. If only he'd agree to be bound by my love. That would be the perfection of my life. I would be so happy. We're not there yet. May take a little longer. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe next week. It's all up to us. It only took Parikshit Maharaj 1 week to become a pure devotee and go back home back to Godhead. And what did he do? He just listened with rapt attention. Shravana. He didn't even do the kirtanam. Sukadev Goswami did the kirtanam. He just did the shravanam. But the process of bhakti yoga, there's nine, navavidhi bhakti, there's nine processors or nine limbs of bhakti yoga. And any one of them can bring you to perfection. Now we're doing more than one. Prabhupada has engaged us in various limbs. So we have such an opportunity. But Parikshit Maharaj, he only listened, he attained perfection. Sukadeva Goswami, he only spoke and he attained perfection. How did Prahlada Maharaj attain perfection? He just remembered. He always remembered Krishna. Never forgot him. As Rupa Goswami says, hey, we got to do that too. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Thanks to Prahlada Maharaj, a 5-year-old boy, we now have that instruction. And my bead bag got caught on this mala here. Okay. So this is what Prabhupada is giving to us. Everything that we need to become Krishna conscious. And as I said the other day, that means in Sanskrit, Krishna Bhavana Amrita, the Bhav, the Amrita, the nectar of the emotion, of the feeling of the love of Krishna. So that's why we're here. That's what we have to do to go back home, back to Godhead. And Krishna is the gold of which everything's made up in this particular verse. We're part and parcel of Krishna. So we're a speck of gold also. He's the entire mine of gold and we're a little speck of gold. Or he's the blazing fire and we're a little sparks. That's another analogy Prabhupada gives. So let's become true to who we really are. Let's give up this false conception of the self that I'm male or female, Australian or Indian or whatever, and come to the realization that I am simply the beloved of Krishna. Now there's two moods of love for Krishna in the spiritual realm. One mood is exemplified by Radharani and her followers. And the other mood is exemplified by Chandravali and her followers. The number one gopi in Krishna's heart is Radharani, and the number two gopi is Chandravali, her rival. It's not Lalita or Vishakha that's number two. It's Chandravali. Did you know that Chandravali and Radharani are half-sisters? Do you know that they love each other very dear? They're very sweet to each other, have very wonderful relationship. But when it comes to Krishna, they're definitely rivals. And Chandravali, she loves Krishna so much. And sometimes she's waiting in her kunj that she's decorated. And if Krishna doesn't come, you know what she does? She cries, Krishna hasn't come. And her mood is, Krishna, I am yours. Radharani has a different mood. She decorates her kunj also, waiting for Krishna. And if Krishna doesn't come, she's waiting and waiting and waiting. She doesn't cry, she gets angry. Okay, that's it. I've had it with this Krishna. Lalita, if he comes, just tell him what I'm not interested, don't want to see him. And her mood is, Krishna, you are mine. Krishna prefers that mood. That you are mine rather than I am yours. Because Krishna is Bhaktivatsala. He likes to take the subordinate position to the love of his devotee. He likes to be dominated. The supreme dominator likes to be dominated by love. Likes to take the subordinate position. In the material world, we don't like to take the subordinate position. We want to be the master. We want to be the controller. We want to be calling the shots rather than the subordinate. But look at Krishna. He likes the opposite. So, I'll read this verse again. Gold alone is present before its manufacture into gold products. The gold alone remains after the product's destruction. And the gold alone is the essential reality while it is being utilized under various designations. Similarly, I alone exist before the creation of this universe, after its destruction, and during its maintenance. And our desire is we want to be there with Krishna before, during, and after, all of the time, every moment, every second. Radharani finds fault with Lord Brahma. He doesn't know how to create because he created eyes with eyelids that you have to blink. And in that blinking moment, my vision of Krishna is obstructed. This Brahma, he doesn't know how to create. That's how much love they have for Krishna. So now we know what the goal is. We know where we're at. Let's make rapid progress by chanting with full care, full attention. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions? Yes.
One question is just on this board. It's only a technical question, but you know, we've got the beginning, the middle, and the end, but not only is it written the way it's written up here, we've got the beginning and the end and the middle of the end. The way it's written, I just wonder if there's any reason for that.
Well, it says that here too. I exist before the creation, after its destruction, and during its maintenance.
So that's what Krishna said. So
that's what he says.
Oh, okay. It usually goes in sequence, the beginning, the middle, the end.
Krishna's independent. He doesn't follow any rules. He makes them up as he goes along.
That's why he wrote it that way, because that's what Krishna said.
Yeah. He makes things up as he goes along. He created this universe the way it is now, but you know, as Mahavishnu, he inhales, all those universes come back into the body of Mahavishnu, and on the next exhalation, a whole new set of universes, and who knows what they're like. Maybe be nothing like this. Maybe completely different. He has another idea. You know, he's an artist. He's creative. He doesn't do the same thing twice. He's unique and special. Any other questions? Well, if there's no other question, have you got 5 minutes more, and I'll share with you special realization. Or if you want to go take prasad, you understand? Okay. You know, the Mayavadis say that they want to merge with God, become God. The Christians and the Muslims, they say, I want to go to heaven and sit with God, side by side. What the Vaishnavas say? They say, we want to go beyond God. What does that mean, beyond God? What it means is this. You have a prime minister in this country, right? Or a president? Prime minister.
Prime minister.
Who's the prime minister now?
Julian.
Juilliard. Lady.
Yes.
Very good. So she's the prime minister. She's the prime citizen. She's the number one citizen in the country, right? Yeah? So, if the President of the United States comes to visit Australia, he sits with her. They talk. And when everybody comes to see her, full of respect and honor. But what happens when she goes home to her family in the evening? The kids, to the kids, she's just mummy. Mommy, where were you? We're hungry. To her husband, it's just his wife, you know. And, you know, we have to go to visit our relatives. It's Christmas. We have to go here. Well, I've got so many things to do. I have this state dinner. And then, well, we promised, you know, my parents said we're going to be at their house. You know, what's going on? It's a different relationship when she goes home. She's not the prime minister anymore. But hang on a second. When she goes back on Monday morning, again it's the prime minister and everyone's yes, yes, whatever you say. So it's the same with Krishna. When he wants to be God, he takes the form of Mahavishnu. And when he goes home from the office, goes back to his home, he goes to Goloka Vrindavan, and he's just Govinda who plays on the flute. And he's with his family members. And Prabhupada is bringing us back to be with Krishna's family in Goloka Vrindavan. To enter into his private life, not his public life. Krishna's public life is when he's God, Mahavishnu. Everybody worships him. But his private life is with his family members in the village. And Prabhupada's giving us everything so that we can come to that level of consciousness and return back to Krishna's private life beyond God, where he's just our most beloved friend. And we have eternal pastimes with him, and we have no more conception of God. You understand how profound that is? Do you realize? Prabhupada's given us what no other person on this planet can understand. You go to any religious person, any leader, and we're going beyond God, but God's private life. They have no conception of that. And we don't take this seriously, and we're spacing out while we're doing the process. It means we haven't understood. It means we haven't grasped what Prabhupada's giving us yet. We got to get with it and understand what Prabhupada's given us. Because if we understand, we'll execute it better. You agree with that? Yes? So let's do the best that we can do, because Prabhupada's given us the best there is to be given. You wanted to say something?
I was just going to say that Julia Bilal, she's got no children, she's not married.
Okay, well, that's very unfortunate for her. She must be very lonely. But at any rate, sorry?
She has a partner, but they're not married.
Oh, I see. This is Australia. Then I could have given the example of another president who lives a normal life. It's what I normally do. Like Obama, right. But since we're in Australia, I thought it doesn't apply here. Anyway, but you'll get the point, right? Any questions? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.